How lucky I am to have been in your midst for the last 4+ years. You have been so loving and kind to me. And although I have talked about DC as home for my entire tenure, you should know that because of you, I have felt at home in Atlanta. And although I am called to be a rector at Christ Church Rockville, I think I may have stayed with you until I retire, which I'm excited to say is just a handful of years. I've so enjoyed that you have embraced my stories over the last several years. In my sermons, you have so graciously put up with hearing about my crushes, my grandmother's big Italian family, my insecurities, and even some of the odd ways in which I've injured myself. And I'm deeply grateful for that. And now one last story about neighbors. Thank you for indulging me. Fern and Earl were a few years younger than I am now, but they seemed ancient to me. Earl had a beer belly, and Fern was prematurely gray and had a shock of white hair. They were like our third set of grandparents, and they lived right next door. To get a picture in your mind, I think that Hallmark stalked Fern before it made its Maxine line of cards. The woman with a halo of white hair and pithy comments and sunglasses, the only difference was that Fern didn't have a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. Earl kind of reminded me of an older Dagwood Bumstead from the Blondie comic strip. I never received anything but love and support from Fern and Earl. Their son had been my dad's best friend, who had been murdered in a robbery when he and my dad were 26 years old. That's the short version. There's a much longer version, which is quite fascinating, and it actually was written up in True Detective in the 50s. Suffice it to say, the longer version could have easily resulted in Fern and Earl never talking to my dad, because the robbery was orchestrated by my dad's cousin by marriage. Let me make clear, cousin by marriage. None of that blood courses through my veins. The blood that does is bad enough. I want to focus on Fern and Earl and how they responded to all of this. Fern and Earl essentially considered my dad as the son they had lost. We lived at that new development, which was a step up from where my parents were brought up, because Fern and Earl wanted my dad to be neighbors. They treated us like their grandchildren, and looking back, I think that because we were right next door, we may have been treated even better than grandchildren. Imagine that. For instance, Earl would pay us a quarter to help him wash his car. Essentially, I was paid a quarter to squirt a hose. I mean, really, how great is that for a kid? Earl and Fern always enjoyed having us sit on their covered porch with them to listen to the Cleveland Indians play baseball. They had a little leather-encased transistor radio that I thought was magic because I never saw them replace the batteries. And in fact, I thought it was a great marketing ploy by the Cleveland Indians because I never heard anything else on that radio but baseball games. They gave us RC Cola in those colored aluminum glasses, about which I'm very worried now, but I loved them at the time because we were not allowed to drink soda, or as we said in Ohio, pop, when we were kids. My dad had a serious automobile accident when I was 6 years old, and at times he could barely move. He had 3 little girls under the age of 10. I was a tomboy, and as the only one remotely interested in sports, it must have been really hard for him not to be able to help me, especially surrounded by women in the house. Well, this is where Earl stepped in. Earl taught me how to swing a bat. He taught me how to swing a golf club, and he taught me how to throw a football. When Earl was dying during my bar summer, my dad was asked by Fern to decide if extraordinary means should be used. My dad and I made that decision with her and for her. Fern, she was our role model for the modern working woman. My mom and most of the moms in the neighborhood did not work outside of the home, but Fern was a bookkeeper for a local heating and cooling company. Fern put on her twin set and her pearls and set out for work every day. She was like our Mary Tyler Moore in the neighborhood. One thing I haven't mentioned yet is that Fern and Earl liked beer. A lot. We knew when Fern had had enough of her juice glasses of beer when she started tugging really hard on her earlobe. And the fact that that earlobe, because it was always the same one, was not down to her shoulder by the time she died was remarkable. When I came home to Alliance, Ohio for Christmas after living in D.C. for 3 years, I, of course, visited Fern. Contemporaneous with that Christmas was the capture of Manuel Noriega, the strong man of Panama. Fern had her ever-present juice glass of what was some off-brand of beer in front of her, because at that point, Stroh's was an extravagance for someone on a fixed income. She leaned toward me and said, "Honey, you can tell Fernie, did you have something to do with that Noriega thing?" I laughed and said, "Oh, no, Fern, I didn't really have anything to do with that Noriega thing." She had a glint in her eye, would not be put off, compelled to ask me the same question. Again, I said, "Fern, I really didn't. I promise I would tell you if I had. But I don't even work for the government." And again, Fern asked me, "Honey, you can tell Fernie, did you have something to do with that Noriega thing?" Well, Fern would not be put off by the truth. So I sort of shrugged my shoulders, raised my eyebrows, and gave her a knowing smile. She settled back in her chair, happy to share with me in my great conquest. So I was loved, and I was supported in ways that were beyond my comprehension. What a gift, although somewhat delusional, that she had so much confidence in me. Gifts come in many different forms. One gift you have given me was the opportunity to share my gifts with you, and you have graciously accepted them, including my often oddball humor. And you have given me other gifts as well, including the love you have shown me during my time with you. I have been loved and supported by you in ways beyond my comprehension. Now, I don't think that any one of you would think that I am a member of a secret SWAT team. But Holy Innocents, you are my Fern and Earl. It should be the endeavor of anyone in any sort of relationship, and we are all in relationship, to recognize the gifts that the others bring and allow and encourage them to grow and develop. When in community, we recognize that each has different gifts and work to cultivate them, we can become a vibrant and sacred community, otherwise transformed. The combination of the blessings bestowed on each of us by God and the needs of community with a dash of grace leads to the blossoming of great, great things. It is growing together toward God's future for us, based upon our foundation of faith in and love for God and one another. This love, support, and trust in each other and faith in God is what fuels the spirit in community, moving us in ways we never anticipated. Legendary dancer Judith Jameson said the following about the relationship between dance and the spirit. Dance, she said, is bigger than the physical body. Think bigger than that. When you extend your arm, it doesn't stop at the end of your fingers because you're dancing bigger than that. You're dancing spirit. Likewise, as you extended your hearts and hands to me over the last several years, you offered me your spirit. You offered me the fullness of this community, and we recognized, cultivated, and shared our gifts with one another. I am deeply, deeply indebted to you for the love and care that you have shown me during my time here. There is no way that I can truly thank you except to share all you've taught me with others. I will miss you more than you will ever know. Holy Innocents, Eleanor Roosevelt said, many friends will walk in and out of your life, but only true friends will leave footprints in your heart. We have loved each other, and you have left footprints in my heart. So thank you from the bottom of that heart for the gift of our dance, for the gift of our big dance, and for being my Furman Earl. Amen.